think that's me ready. I don't know about the guys up the back. You laugh at Maureen. Oh, no. Well, that's 12 o'clock by. That's good. We're back on course again. This place never changes, does it? Right, okay. You can put on the first slide and that will get us started. We're going to talk today about life. I've been on holiday for a couple of weeks. We were up there at London Links and then we came down to Dunbar. And we had that lovely week there at Dunbar as well. Came back Friday afternoon and got home, unpacked the caravan, and then headed up to Gownbank to cut the grass because I knew the rain was coming. And I'm coming down the roadside and this wee white car comes in. Didn't recognise it. Then I looked inside and it was Eddie driving this different car. And thanks, Al, driving this other car. So he comes in, we had a chat for a wee while. And then he was just about to leave and he says, oh, you're speaking on Sunday. Oh, but the holiday story we'll be getting again. And I says, well, Eddie, maybe not. Maybe I have to disappoint you, but hang on to your seat, Eddie. There might be something special for you later on. But there was folks came in this morning and they said the same. So it's the holiday snaps this morning. And it's how you get a reputation for certain things. But anyway, it's not holiday snaps this morning. We're going to talk about life. And, you know, that's something that every single one in this church this morning has. Every one of us has life, and it's similar in lots of ways. You're breathing, well, most of them anyway, and they look as if they're alive, but there's differences as well. There's difference in your life experience from my life experience, from the person sitting next to you, and we could go around and we could find out what life means to those various folks. Also, the time span is different. There's a difference in time span. We've got folks in, I'm going the wrong way, sorry. There's a difference in time span in folks' life. I started off looking at the Cambridge Dictionary and said, what does it say about life? And it just simply says, it's the period between your birth and your death. The bit in between is life. So from the time you're born to the time you die is your life. It's the experience of being alive. Now all of us are here, are alive. But the time span will be different between that birth and that death. I just want to think this morning about, you know, what does that actually mean to us? So, as I was thinking about it, I said, let's think about some of the things. And I came across this wee clip and it says, life is a song. Sing it. Life is a game. Let's play it. Life is a challenge. Let's try and meet it. Life is a dream. Try to realise it. Life is a sacrifice. Offer it. Life is love. Enjoy it. And all of these things, I could see, yeah, there's something in each of them, maybe for each of us, but is that what real life is really all about? So I want to ask some big questions this morning so that each of us, to ask that question of ourselves. What is the meaning of life to you? You're alive. You're here today with life. None of us know when we're going to die. So we've got life at the moment. We've got opportunities to make decisions in life. But what does life mean for you? This is how this talk started off. I saw this little clip on Facebook. I don't know how these things come on here. Your laptop, but they do. And I just looked at it and said, you know, there's something true in that little clip. We only live once, that guy says. And yeah, that's right, we only have one shot at life. We've got this from birth to death, but that's a one-off shot that we get at life. And all the decisions that we make in life will affect our life and our afterlife. But the second guy, he says, that's wrong, we only die once. And that's right, we only die once. But we live every day. So from birth to death, we have opportunity to make decisions which will affect us, will affect others round about us, and affect us eventually. So, why am I here? Why are you here? What is life all about? What is the meaning of life for you? I jotted down some things that the meaning of life might be for some folks. Is it a success in some form? That's the meaning of life for you, to make a success of something that's in your life. Or is it just making it in the eyes of your peers, your schoolmates, your social group, your neighbours, your workmates? You want them to look at you and say, aye, he's made it or she's made it. It might be having a family. That's maybe the priority in your life. That's the meaning for your life. I want to settle down. I want to be married. I want to have a family. And I'll raise my family as best I can and teach them. That might be your goal. That might be the meaning of your life. Maybe leaving a legacy of some sort, not necessarily financial legacy, but it could be what you've left to maybe those at your work. You look back in your life, maybe for your family, yes, you want to make sure that they've seen an example of good living. Maybe you want to be remembered after you're dead. What did they think about you? Maybe it's just to have pure enjoyment or self-fulfillment. Financial success. Try to amass enough to get that little pension pot that will see you through life. That's my desire, my goal. So that I've got that sitting there and I can sit back and relax. But you know, for others, maybe the meaning of life for them is illness. Are they living with illness every day of your life? With an illness that's maybe incurable. Maybe if you're young, it's education, knowledge, get these standard grades, the hires, the degree, the master's, the doctorate, the professorship, or just to get lots of knowledge. Maybe it's rejection is the meaning of your life. Were you rejected by your parents, by your peer group, by the neighbours in your street? Maybe you're living with something like that. Maybe you're living with the fear of death. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You're not looking forward to that day when death overtakes you. Or the meaning of life, are you just surviving? I'm just trying to get through this. Gonna care less what happens. Just trying to get from day to day until I die. And some people, it's the understand, trying to understand what is the meaning of life. So I don't know what the meaning of life for you is today, but you can answer that question for yourself. I know when I was at work, we often talked about these little headstones, and you'll never have in your headstone, I wish I had spent another hour or another day at the office, because it's for a time period. And you know, folk do spend a lot of time and they stay at the office until the boss is gone, and then they disappear out the back door after that. But that's one of the things that people have in their life. All these meanings that I've just looked at and jotted down, they've got one thing in common. They've got a limited time to either achieve them or to not achieve them. When death comes, it doesn't matter whether they've been achieved or whether they've not. Well, it maybe does if it's a legacy or something. But it's a time span you've got for your life to achieve that. So what we want to do is look at God's word and see what he says about life. See what he says about life. This little reading that we're going to have is only a few verses. It's in John's Gospel, chapter 17. And it's Jesus had been speaking to his disciples and he's been telling them all that's going to happen to him over the next few days. But Jesus looks towards heaven and he prays this prayer. He says, Father, the hour has come. What is the hour that's just come? He's been telling his disciples within the next 3 days or 4 days, I'm going to be taken. I'm going to be manhandled. I'm going to be put in prison. I'm going to be judged. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be spat upon. I'm going to have a crown of thorns put in my head. And I'm going to be crucified. And so, Jesus says, Father, that hour has come. Jesus has left his Father. He's been here for 33 years, and now the hour of the appointment of his death has come. So he says, glorify your Son, so he can give glory back to you. The humility of the Lord Jesus, even at this time, wanting to give the glory to his Father. For you have given him authority over everyone. Jesus has authority over everyone. In the next few hours, the soldiers are going to have authority over him. The Jews are going to have authority over him. Those that look on him are going to spit on him. Jesus has got authority over them. And yet he goes through all of this to get to the cross, to die for you and for me. It says he gives eternal life to each one that you have given him. And this is the way to eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one that you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work on earth, by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. Jesus, at this stage, is saying the work's done. He's still got those days to go, and he says the work is done. His perfect life, and now it's his perfect death. And he says, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. So he's going back to where all of life started, back to be with his Father in heaven before the world began. So the verse I really want to focus on is this one. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Still awake, Eddie? Here we go. Got to Dunbar. Caravan's all set up. All good. The winds came, nearly blew us away. Next day I went in to the reception bit, and I went in there, and they've got, you know, these bits of information that tells you what you can do there and where you get meals and all of that sort of information on the caravan site. But they've also got, you know, an area where there was books that you could take and where there was DVDs to watch and all that sort of stuff. And being an avid reader, as you know, I looked at the books and it wouldn't make any difference whether I'm back to front for me. But I saw this one that said, standing on my knees. So I take this book out and then realise that it's a book about prayer and how to pray. And it says, standing on my knees. Well, as I do, I read the first couple of chapters and I put the book back at the end of the week, but that's about as far as I got with it. But it intrigued me. At the beginning of the book, how it got its title. It's standing on my knees. This guy got the title from a girl called Sarah Kelly. Maybe some folks will have heard her songs. And he got it from the lyrics of her song. And it wasn't even so much the song that gripped me. I'll show you that in a couple of minutes. But Sarah Kelly, she was a young girl. And she was blessed by growing up in a Christian home. And Sarah had a good upbringing. She loved it. And eventually she met a Christian boy. And the two of them got together. And love blossomed. Eventually they married and set up home together. But it wasn't long after that Sarah found she was in an abusive relationship. And the whole thing crumbled. She ended up divorced from her husband. That young girl, full of life and laughter, as she apparently was, could have just said, that's it. My life is over as far as religion and Christianity is concerned. But Sarah hung on to the Lord. She asked for help to get through that situation. And she penned these words. She recognised that, you know, on our own, things can come in that could almost break us. The problems of life could break us, but we're not called to stand in our own two feet. It says, the song says, we're standing on her knees. She wrote, "I've been swept away by a hurricane, but I landed on my feet. It happened fast, and all I know is where I need to be, empty-handed and free. I'm still standing, still standing. Because you're strong when I am weak, so I'm still standing. I'm standing on my knees. It's hard to guess where the road will lead next, but I'm up for every turn. I know you're near to make my way clear as I live and as I learn, because you're strong when I am weak. So I'm standing, still standing on my knees." And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll go through difficult times as well. And we've got to grasp that we can't cope with every situation on our own. And it's only by standing on our knees, looking for the grace of God and his help to see us through these difficult situations. And recognizing that, yeah, God does help us in the good times. And it's great to be able to say, "Bless the Lord, bless me, this is great." But when the hard times come and we're at breaking point, God is still operating in those situations. And that's the blessing of having the life in the Lord Jesus that we're talking about today. "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." How do I bring that part to life as for the meaning of life? Well, God is the author of life. If you go back to the beginning of time, God made a perfect world. He made the animals, he made creation, and he made Adam and Eve, and he put them in the garden, and that was perfect. That was God's creation for life. But when we look at the world around us, we see that we live in a broken world. We see war, we see famine, we see anger, distress. And all that is a result of Adam and Eve's first sin in the world. Because everyone from Adam right until today, everyone has sinned and come short of God's standard. So we're living today in this world of brokenness and despair. But for you today, when you come to face with your own personal brokenness, are you looking for a way out today? How do you find that way out? Some people try to find it in relationships. Some folk try to find it in religion. They'll try to do the best they can to try and get out and to make a way to heaven or whatever. Some folk in desperation will turn to drugs or alcohol or some other problem into their life. So we can be living with our own personal brokenness and looking for that way out of life. We often sing this song in the church. Do you feel that the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark, it won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish you could see it all made new? We do. Does the Father truly love us? Does the Spirit move among us? Does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves? Does our God intend to dwell again with us? He does. That's the good news. He does. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is the answer to life. This is the real meaning of life, to get to know God, to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and make him your Saviour and Lord. Eternal life is to know God and his Son, Jesus. Further on in John's Gospel, chapter 20, it says, "But these things are written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that as you believe in him, you may have life in his name." Jesus said, "Look, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." So look to Jesus today and find life in his name. Things have never changed. You go into the Old Testament and you still see that brokenness in folks' lives. In the nation of Israel, God's people, broken lives, turning from God and having to turn again and come back to Him. So, but God can restore broken relationships. There's always another opportunity. He can change it into something amazing. This is the book of Joel. I will pay you for the years that the locust has eaten. You go into the New Testament and it tells you, in Peter, it says, in His kindness God called you to share in His eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. He is the answer. After you have suffered a little while, He will restore, He will support, He will strengthen you, and He will place you on a firm foundation. So although we are living in a broken world, even if your life is broken today, you can see no way through, we can turn to Jesus, the author of life. The meaning of life, it's incomplete without knowing Jesus. No matter what we turn to, we'll never find true satisfaction. He's the one that can make us over anew. Go to Jeremiah, and He'll tell us like about the potter remaking the pot. And that's what God can do in your life, and He can do in my life through Jesus, His Son. But it says eternal life. Eternal life. It's not physical life that Jesus is going to give you. It's eternal life. And you're promised that by trusting in Jesus, putting our faith and our belief in Him, and becoming a follower of Him, and doing as He commands us to do. Romans tells us it's a gift. So this eternal life is a gift to you this morning, but you have to take it. You make that choice, I'm going to follow Jesus and make Him Lord of my life. But eternal life, it's not everlasting life. It's not this life that we've got just now perpetually going on and on and on. That's not eternal life. Yes, eternal life is everlasting because it will go on and on. But it's a quality that's there. It's knowing God. It's knowing Jesus. It's having that joy of following Him. That desire to know Him more, to understand Him more. And only once we get to heaven will we understand it fully. Eternal life functions beyond time, yeah. Once we die, eternal life's gone on, yeah. But it's something we can experience right now. That's what it tells us. I've got eternal life. When I put my faith and trust in Jesus, I got eternal life. It starts right now when you put your faith in Him. That's eternal life. Getting to know Him now, and I only know a smattering of what God is like. But one day we'll know Him fully, and we'll experience the fullness of what He has in store for us. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Just as we're getting to the end, this is another Facebook clip that Eddie Bowman put on. It's only a short trip. Enjoy it. And I thought about life, and I said, that's maybe what folk say, it's only a short trip. Enjoy it. We're only here for a short period of time. Even supposing we're as old as Sam. What are the years? What is it, 83 years or something? But it's short. Ask him. Your life, when you get to our age, you say, it's just, where did those years go? It goes in a flash. It's like a vapour. And it disappears. It's only a short trip. Enjoy it. So forget Christianity. Let's enjoy life. Let's really get out there and make the most of life. Or not. Is it possible to enjoy the trip if today you make a decision to follow Christ? Can your life be as full if you become a Christian? I would answer that. It will be fuller than you ever experienced in the past. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it. This happened on holiday as well. No, not the picture, but... not a picture, that's no Dunbar, obviously, but... it was Joni. Isabel read this one when we were on holiday. She does all the reading. She's doing the reading through the Bible every morning for us, and we haven't missed a day yet, because she forces us to do it and makes it wait till we read the Bible. So... we're enjoying that because we're more than halfway through. But anyway, the Joni reading, one of the days was this: whoever tries to live keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it. And I said, you know, that's what this life is all about. Death from birth, birth to death. That's all we've got in this life. And I'm offering them eternal life in Jesus. I mean, what is the choice? It's unbelievable. But she recounted this guy, Ted Turner. He was the guy who built up CNN News, the rival to Fox News. He's a multi-billionaire, and he's a relatively good guy, I would assess, in human form. He set up a trust, put in £2.5 billion into a charitable trust, the Turner Trust, it's called. And he's just a philanthropist beyond all means, but he's still a multi-billionaire, and I think he's almost the same age as Sam. I think he's 83 at the moment. But anyway, one time he said, Christianity, it's a religion for losers. It's a religion for losers. He also went into his office one day, and the Christians in the office had some ash on their foreheads because it was Ash Wednesday. And again, he says, what are you Christians doing? You should be overworking for Fox News. You shouldn't be working for me. Now, he recanted both of those statements later in life. And he's not a Christian, not a believer, but a religion for losers. That's what it is, isn't it? Christianity is a religion for losers. It says, whoever tries to keep their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life will preserve it. All it's saying is, get your priorities right. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you in his measure. So, you've only got this amount of time here. Focus on it. See, Christ is the answer to your life. He's the real meaning for life, and God is the real meaning for life, and he will give you that eternal life. So lose your life now, and he will bless you abundantly, and he will bless you forever. So, whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it. So if Mr. Turner doesn't accept Christianity as the true religion, he won't experience heaven. He gives millions of pounds now to Christians who are working in Africa. He recognises that Christians are doing such a good job in Africa. He's funding their charities, the Christian charities that are out there, with millions of pounds. So his thoughts are changing, but he only has a limited amount of time to make that decision to trust in Christ. So today, I sat in Townhead Church on the 23rd of July, 2023. I could have made that decision to follow Christ, but I didn't. What a sorry state. To miss eternal fullness of life in heaven with God instead of eternal damnation. As an old hymn, the chorus goes, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials, whatever they are, they will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely, bravely run this race till we see Christ. Accept Jesus as your Saviour. Get to know God and receive eternal life. Let's pray together. Our God and our Father, we thank you for this time that we've been able to have together in your presence. And we thank you, the Father, that you are looking on us today and you're with us. Our Father, we pray that you'll put one of our hearts, no matter who we are, whether we have already trusted in your Son or whether we've still that decision to make. Help us, our Father, today to recognise that you are in it, no matter what our situation is in life. And for those who have not made that decision to follow our Lord Jesus, through the power of your Spirit, touch their lives today and help us to say, yes, it's Christ for me. It's Christ for me. So, our Father, we ask a blessing on everyone who's here and on their families and those that they love. Help us now as we would go from this place, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.